Welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. A beautiful sunny day in Baltimore, Maryland. Almost like a endless summer here as we enjoy the good weather for hopefully a few more weeks, maybe even a couple of months. But we hope that things are well wherever you may be tuning in and listening to the broadcast today. We want to remind you, of course, that over the next 45 minutes or so, you'll have the opportunity to weigh in, participate in the broadcast, join us live, as you can pick up a phone, dial one of these numbers, and share your thoughts, your comments, or your questions live on the broadcast or through the chat that we have available to those of you that are watching online. Here are those numbers, toll-free in all of North America, 800-338-7060, and locally here in the Baltimore area, you can join us by dialing 410-483-3700. And if you've been listening to the broadcast thus far this week, you know we've been discussing the life of King David, and today we'll focus on David, the psalmist, the psalm writer, and how grateful. And by the way, my name is Pastor John Love, joining us in the studio today. Pastor Steve Andrelonis will be your hosts for the next hour or so. And Pastor Steve, who isn't comforted by all of those amazing psalms written by David that we find in the Old Testament?
I think, you know, it's one of the more important, if we can say that any book of the Bible is more important than others. I think this one might be maybe not more important, but maybe more referenced, because I think we can find in the Psalms something to capture our mood or to address our mood of the moment, you know. And I think that's why those Psalms have taken such a place in people's hearts. I know years ago, I guess maybe I've been a Christian since 1979, a born-again believer, and I remember just, you know, Billy Graham talking about his approach to Bible study and saying that he began his Bible study by reading Psalms or five Psalms and also a chapter of Proverbs. So I made that sort of I try to make that a practice. It's like it's a way to get the Bible in front of me every day. And so I think it's just, you know, the rhythm and well, there's not so much rhythm there. We can't really detect it because I think maybe it's been lost in the Hebrew to the English. But there is, you know, there is like sort of a stylistic element. And, you know, there's just a lot of really great phrases that we can hang on to. Just like why is a top 40 hit a top 40 hit? It has like a hook to it, you know? I don't even know if that's still so much of a thing nowadays, but I can remember when I was younger and, you know, used to listen to Casey Kasem and the America's Top 40, and you know, they would count down from 40 to number one, and, you know, you could get to those ones that got to the top of the charts. They had something that grabbed you. The words did it, and the music, of course, too.
And you're right, David, as he wrote those psalms, he did just that. He hooked us, so to speak.
Yeah.
And what are some of those psalms or verses that resonate in your own heart that really caught your attention, gripped your soul, and have maybe become like a foundation for what God has built on throughout your life?
Okay. Let's see. All right, I think once you get to Psalm 2, I think it gives you a understanding of why the world is the way it is. So that's always captured me. Now, I think I've told this story on the air several times, but like when I first went and gave my life to Christ, I was given a Bible, and then the woman who gave it to me told me to read Job first. So I read Job first, and I realized I had just become a believer, and I realized, wow, man, you can be a believer and get into a lot of trouble. So that was one thing. And then when I read Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That really stuck with me. just because I think, in the 60s, late 60s, I can remember the riots in Baltimore and having a 4 p.m. curfew. And I can remember what rage. I was only 7 or 8 at that time, but I can remember I lived a short distance from our campus here in Baltimore. And I remember having to come inside at 4 and, you know, hearing about my parents telling me that there was, people were destroying parts of Baltimore, setting them on fire. So why did the heathen rage? And then the people imagine a vain thing. That stuck with me. And then that very interesting psalm that I think Pastor Schaller mentioned last night, Pastor Tom Schaller, in our message, in our midweek service last night, Psalm 13. It was like, you know, it's like such a schizophrenic, it seems like a schizophrenic psalm. It begins with, "Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever?" It seems like he's yelling. And then by the end of the verses 5 and 6, he's like praising the Lord. And it seemed like that psalm has always like sort of captivated me. And then those psalms, I think 42, 43, where you're like sort of instructed to talk to yourself, like, "Oh soul, why are you so disquieted? Hope thou in God." And I think as I've read those psalms again, I'm thinking that there's a couple parts of us. Like there's the human spirit, and then there's also the human soul. And it's almost like we are all, like in a way, divided. And I think there is a place in the psalm where it says, "Unite my heart." And I'm not sure what psalm that is. But I think that's like when your soul gets distressed and your human spirit can speak to it and speak words from the psalms. Like, and then, of course, all those, like Psalm 23, we all know, we all learned that, you know, when I was in high school, I was part of the student newspaper, and we lost a picture, and so the printer just threw in a piece of artwork that had Psalm 23 in it, and my teacher was like, "What the heck happened?" You know, it's like, but it was like even back then, you know, it was like Psalm 23 was something even before I wasn't a believer yet, so I was reading the psalm, and I remember saying, "Wow, that's kind of interesting." And then, you know, and then a year later, I became a believer, and then I realized the Lord is my shepherd. So I think, you know, we can all pick those kinds of things out there, right?
Absolutely. For me, Psalm 40 resonates with me because it was a psalm that spoke so perfectly to where I was at in life, because it spoke about salvation.
Yeah.
And verse 2, it's the psalmist said, "He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many will see it and hear and fear and trust in the Lord." I mean, that became like, I mean, I read that and I thought to myself, "Oh God, he's writing my story."
Yeah.
"He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, put my feet upon a rock, established my goings, put a new song in my mouth." I mean, I thought that was like God writing his letter to me perfectly.
I just think, you know, this is such a great thing for us to talk about, because I think more than anything, more than any part of the Bible, like you said, more than any part of the Bible, we get like an imagination run wild. There's only one other place, I think Song of Solomon is, an imagination is running wild, especially when he gets to the description of his most precious one there, and all those figures of her hair and teeth and stuff. But throughout the Psalms, we get these very graphic word pictures. They're almost like bursts of inspiration, you know, and they're just put down. I think the way that I see it is that, that's what connects us to them so much, because they are very much, and now one psalm says, "Deep calls unto the deep at the water spouts," but you know, the psalms are sort of like, they're like the surface kind of thing. They touch us like almost right away. You know, it's like, doesn't take us very long to grab hold of something that we're reading from the Psalms.
Yeah. And I think Pastor Schaller shared recently, I think it was at one of our lunch wraps here at our ministry, that about 40% of the Psalms relate to suffering and grief in a person's life. So, I mean, let's be honest about it. Through this broken, sinful world, even as believers, there's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of grief. There's a lot of heartache. And those kinds of Psalms, some 40% of the total number of Psalms that are written, they deal with those subjects.
Yeah, Lamentations.
Yeah, I mean, practicality.
I think I'm wondering if we get enough of that. I'm wondering if we're taught enough of that, because, I mean, the thing that seems like David, from these pieces of writing that we have from him, it seems whenever he was in trouble, he sought God, got something from God to speak to the atmosphere he was in, and it's honest. It's really honest. We don't get anything held back. Like I said, Psalm 13, he's like really like asking God, where are you? I have no sense that you are with me at all in this situation. But then as he proceeds through this kind of, you know, maybe he had like a, you know, now these are musical, you know, so we know that David was a musician, and so that he put these things to music. And so Psalm 13 is short in text, but I'm wondering if there was like a long interlude of like a long, sad kind of interlude. Now, not everyone enjoys instrumental music or like, the solos that go on. Like, you know, we can remember probably in our
former
lives, where we, you know, the drum solos going to a concert and the drum solo that would last, or a guitar solo that would last several minutes and that kind of thing. But I'm wondering if that's what, you know, David spoke that, and then there was like an interlude, and as he played through the music, then he was led himself to kind of praise. And, that's a big element to the Psalms that maybe we don't capture so much. You know, those little pieces of writing, and I know that you know this very well, those little pieces of writing that seem to be throwaway lines are very instructive as to what the psalm was, you know, the setting of the psalm. You know, Psalm 51 is like very honest. It says, the song that David wrote after he went into Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. It's like, here it is. Here, I'm writing this song, singing about like God forgiving me for the sin, but you should know the context of why I'm writing this. And so I think that, you know, that sort of sets up the musicality of the Psalms, maybe not, don't come across so much, you know, we're just looking at it on the page, but there is like a musicianship behind it. There is like a, you know, the meditative element that, you know, David was speaking, lamentation, like when he's lamenting like this, did he pause? And we see that word Selah that many people have tried to define it. I've always defined it this way. I don't know how you define it when you teach the Psalms, but it is, I've always defined it like, okay, say that again and think about it, and then say that again and think about it. It's almost like you get to that Selah. It's like, oh, these last couple lines, you should say them again and you should think about them all over.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Pause, yeah. Stop, reflect.
Pause for reflection. Yeah,
meditate.
That's good.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Pastor Steve, there is in 2 Samuel chapter 22, the first verse of that chapter. Now, this is toward the very end of David's life. 2 Samuel, along with 1 Samuel, chronicled David's calling, God selecting him from watching his father's sheep to lead his own sheepfold, the people of Israel. But here it reads in verse 1 of 2 Samuel 22, David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Now, this 22nd chapter in 2 Samuel is like, it's almost the essence of David's life. And we might say, kind of break it down into four different themes. Now, earlier or later in the 21st chapter, it says in verse 18, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. David went down, his servants with him, fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. He was exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
He was, again, toward the end of his life,
yeah.
A lot of battles, a lot of challenges, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. But in this 22nd chapter, he begins, and the first of these four themes, we could say, the first one we could read in verses 2 and 3, and he said, and he sang it, like you said earlier, he sang this.
Yeah.
Didn't just write it, he sang it. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He's my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." First theme, when times are tough, God alone is our security.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
David said this repeatedly throughout the Psalms, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Because he had tough times. And yeah. I love the fact that the Bible is a real, authentic, practical book.
Mm-hmm.
David, the one who is on that pinnacle, the one who is up there on that plateau, the one that we look to, the giant killer himself, had some really tough times. But when times got tough, he learned that God alone was his security.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the volume of material here in the Psalms. Now, not every one of these is written by David, but he established this kind of pattern, and I think this is his greatest hits. You know, I'm thinking I don't think David just wrote 80 Psalms. I think he probably wrote. We know that. Solomon was said to have written so many, like 1,005 Proverbs and 300 songs or something like that. So obviously this was a pattern that David produced, and he just, this was his way of life. And remember, he's the youngest, and he got maybe the short end of the duties on the chore chart, and he was the one that was supposed to be in the field, which was probably a boring job, watching sheep and making sure, that they didn't wander off. But also, if you didn't have an awareness about you, like he spoke of how he killed a lion and a bear as he got ready to go face Goliath. So we know that this time that he had there to think in the fields and everything like that prepared him. And so the words are coming to him from God. Maybe he's strumming on whatever instrument it is, a lyre, a 10-string instrument, whatever kind of some sort of strings. And he's, he's being skillful with it. And he's a young man, and he's playing on his skill. And it's just there's time element there. And God is giving him these words. And in any situation, he seems to be like creating this. Maybe this happened every night. Mm-hmm. Every night he's like just, tuning up his thing and getting going and just like, yeah. Maybe it helped the sheep. I don't know. Because we know that when Saul was bothered by an evil spirit, Saul the king, David came and played his music, and it seemed to drive away the evil spirit, or mm-hmm. it took over the atmosphere. And I'm thinking, you're alone, you're a young man, maybe you have a couple of helpers with you, but you've got this flock of sheep, and you've got bears and lions that are in the wilderness, predators, and you've got to keep yourself awake. It's like, I'm thinking this routine may have been something, play a song, sing this, I'm going to sing a sad song tonight. I want to sing a sad song to the sheep. And and he just put these, whether he dictated them or wrote them down in some way, I don't know. I think yeah. it's great for us to have this collection of material because, we do face a variety of feelings. Psalms is for our feelings. And now, of course, that as music does it, that ancient chestnut hit is like going through my mind. Feelings, nothing more than feelings.
yeah, I love the fact that what you alluded to, many of the Psalms that David wrote is like his greatest hits. Sometimes you hear about bands or musical yeah. groups after their, they start and then their days come to an end. They put together what they call their greatest hits.
Yes.
Well, David's got, it's like he put together his greatest hits, and we yeah. find them in the Psalms.
Yeah.
And we find them again here in 2 Samuel. which leads to our next of the four themes of David's life. In verse 29 of 2 Samuel 22, it says, Lord, you are my lamp, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. And again, this theme would be, when our days are dark, the Lord alone is our light. And you read that throughout the Psalms. I mean, just Psalm 119,
yeah.
How often we read how the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. And this is how, you know, God gave David enough light to walk in. We want the same thing. We long for that. The path of the just is a shining light that shines more and more into that perfect day. We would love for God to shine enough light well into our future, but he doesn't operate that way, does he?
No.
Somebody once said, how's it go? Life by the yard is hard, but life by the inch is a cinch.
Oh, wow.
Just
that's a good
enough
one.
Light Little. To walk in for this present moment. But you'll always get that through some of his greatest hits.
Yeah, steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord,
exactly.
And he delights in his way. So it's, so I can see David I don't know if they say it so much, but the sound, when they introduced these new devices, what were they, iPods? I don't know if they still make them. They may not even make them anymore, but they used to be able to, you know, just a massive amount of songs on there. But I can remember them saying, for the soundtrack of your life, like, so you got this little tiny thing. And I had a collection of record albums that filled like three cases. And now I could put every song on that if I wanted to, you know, and then some, you know. And so, but the soundtrack of your life, it seems like David recognized that the music of heaven, the music of God was like ordained by him, and the light of God, you know, God revealing his light this way and shining, like you said, just a little bit before him. It's like he had to get the words for the day. And this, like, this imagery, this metaphor is like a very big one. Like, God said, let there be light. And then we know at creation from Job that the morning stars sang together as creation progressed. So light, music, words, all of these things come together in the mind of God, and they're communicated to the mind of David, and David expresses them. And I think this is, you know, this is how he led this massive group of people. You know, how many millions of people were under his leadership at that time, you know, and what trained him for that? The light he learned in the darkness by the sheep, the light he taught himself. And I think, you know, you could go into, I think that's the thing, like light, let's look at light that way, how these expressions stay with us. The Psalms stay with us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. These pieces of light, you know, they can come into the darkness of our minds. And so that's the thing, the lamp, that all that imagery is a big one. You know, it's a big one, leading us to the presence of God. Because I see like the tabernacle as like a physical, the tabernacle was for craftsmen, what the Psalms is for musicians. You know, so like there's something in the Bible for a craftsman. Hey, we built the tabernacle and this is how it's built and all the dimensions mean something. And then there's the lamp right before you get to the holiest of holies, you know, and the same thing. Now we have musicians and singing and poets and writers, and we get all of this in the Psalms. It's all about light.
Amen. In Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of God's words gives us light.
Yeah.
Friends, we'd love to hear from you. Take this opportunity. You probably have a favorite psalm or a verse from one of the many psalms that were written in the scriptures. Give us a call and share that with us, because your psalm that has spoken to your heart and touched you and changed you could be what someone needs to hear today. Phone lines are open, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of the United States and Canada. Locally in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Continuing, the third theme in David's life in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 32 and 33. For who is our God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. This speaks of that third theme, which is when our walk is weak, as it sometimes is, the Lord alone is our strength.
Yeah.
David learned that because he had those moments where we mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, he became self-sufficient. He became proud. He was blinded by his own passions as he indulged in them from time to time. But he had to come back and learn all over again that he is, like every human being, weak, frail, and had those tendencies, only to discover that the Lord alone was his strength.
Yeah, the weak. Yeah. Those figures, you know, the idea of God being our rock and like giving us these feet that can stay nimble on those high places. I will say one of my favorite proverbs is that one about living on the corner of a rooftop rather than in a wide room with a brawling woman. So I think, like, you know, hinds' feet, high places, being able to know that there's, it seems like David is telling us with those words that, you know, like what he's learned from God in the communication he's got with his heart, being open to who the Lord is, even in his failure, you know, God has taught him how to walk above it all on these high places. And, you know, I don't know if you've done a study on it. I haven't. It's curious to me. You know, we see this place in I guess it's 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, about the people did not remove the high places. So we know that people saw these elevations as a way of getting near to heaven or near to the, near to, you know, some of them were heathen, and they created groves and altars on these high places because they thought that they were getting nearer to the deities that they worship. But even in this case, it's seeing like, you know, high, being in the high places is like, is something that is attractive to people. And David said, you know, hinds' feet and high places, I'm thinking it seems like when you're on the verge of disaster, maybe, like, you know, I don't know how you are with heights, but I'm not so good with them.
No, I'm not.
And
I'm
like,
not
you know, do I have hinds' feet? David seems to be like, I could skip, you know, and then we, maybe all of these images are happening because we know that he hid in caves in the mountains, you know, as he was running from Saul. Saul was pursuing him. And like, maybe there was a lot of times when he and his men had to skip across, like, you know, I don't know, like skip across like canyons to get to another cave. It's like, but you know, he had to have like a confidence, like, and that's, God gives confidence that. And the fact of the confidence is that, you know, the rock underneath you is not going to give way. That's the thing. I have these feet, but I'm, you know, you are the rock. Really, my feet are planted on the rock, you know, the rock of the person of God, not necessarily you know, mountaintops or anything.
And so often that we sense our own frailty and weakness in our Christian walk is so weak, you know, we just have to go back and rediscover, if you will, that God alone is our strength. Paul even brought that out in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Mm-hmm. You know, he begged God to take the thorn in his flesh. God said, I'm not going to. I'm going to give you more grace rather than remove this thorn.
Yeah.
And he, you know, made this great understanding, reached this great conclusion that God's strength is perfected in our weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't necessarily despise the weakness. We have to look at the weakness as a means whereby God's strength can come into our lives. As you were talking about the heights and you said you don't do so good with them, it just reminded me of a humorous story. And when I was very young, mm-hmm. we used to vacation in the summer times, living in Massachusetts. We would get up to the shores of New Hampshire. And my father had a cottage in Hampton Beach, and it was appropriately named the Love Nest.
Okay, there we go.
And one day he had me out in the scaffolding, and we were re-shingling the cottage. And I was very frightened. I was very young. I don't know how old I was, maybe 7, 8, 9 years old. And I'm up on the scaffolding, and I'm thinking, I could fall off here.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the instructions he gave me very clearly. He said, if you drop a shingle, don't worry about it. shingle falls, don't even think about it. If the nails, you know, you lose some nails and they fall, don't worry about it. And that's when I just looked at him and I just said, what if I fall?
Yeah.
I didn't care about the shingles or the nails. Being up that high on the second story on a scaffold, I was like, what about me? What if I fall? So, again, sometimes we don't do well with the heights, but God has a way of elevating the way we think.
Yeah.
And we are, after all, seated in heavenly places mm-hmm. in Christ Jesus. We operate from that high and holy, lofty position. So we can make our decisions. We can approach life from that divine viewpoint and know that even in our weakness, God's strength is going to be perfected. Yeah. Love to hear from some of you, our listeners. We know that you've got a favorite psalm. One of our listeners has written Psalm 23 is a chapter I have kept in my heart ever since I was a child. Of course, Psalm 23. But there are other precious portions in the Psalms that I know people just reflect upon, stop, pause, meditate, and use that as a means of strengthening their souls.
And, you know, how many personalities do we really have? And I think that's why there's 150 Psalms. How many different kinds of moods could we experience, you know? You know, you're old enough to remember the mood rings. You know, that was kind of an interesting kind of time in middle school for me, junior high school. Mood rings, people wearing mood rings. I never bought one, but I can remember, you know, the girls in our class just loved to show off their mood rings, that kind of thing. But like for the mood, I mean, for your mood, is there a place there? You know, I always like, somebody asked me like, what if you're like really, really angry? And, you know, and how do you, someone asked the question, how can you be angry and sin not? And I said, well, two things. God does instruct us to pour out our complaints unto the Lord. Okay, so pour out your heart. And Psalm 109 is one. I said, it looks like in that psalm, you have very strong words about, like, you know, David and his enemies, and just like saying, like, he would like Satan to sit at the right hand and leave his children fatherless and leave his wife destitute. It's like, can I, you know, is there a psalm when I want to curse somebody? They're called imprecatory psalms. That's a theological term. But the thing is have you ever felt like you wanted somebody dead? And is there a psalm for that? There is, you know, but you have to know that, like, when you read Psalm 109, you get to a place of mercy where, you know that when you, it seems to me like when you can pour out this kind of, venom, maybe that's the right way. You can be, you know, and I've seen those things where they take the snake venom and milk a snake and they get all the venom out of them. Maybe that's the way you get the venom out of you. You go into your closet, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, go into your closet. This is the way you pray. But then you could also like attach, like, okay, you got all this stuff. You might as well pour it out before the Lord. He's really the only one who can handle it. Mm. You start talking to other people, you're talking about stimulating a fire of gossip or something like that. But I still think that you feel that way. Let's be honest. David felt this way. Mm. And he didn't, you know.
That tendency to want to talk to the other sheep rather than the shepherd,
yep.
We find within all of us.
Yeah, Jesus said, don't do it.
Right.
You know, talk to me about it.
Exactly.
And it seems like, well, you know, and that's the place to put that stuff.
Yeah, amen. Well, we do have a caller. Jenny Perry is joining us live on the Grace Hour. And Jenny, welcome to the broadcast. Go right ahead.
Pastor Love?
Yes, go right ahead. We can hear you.
We're here.
Okay. Hi, Pastor Steve. You know, that question you asked, Pastor Love, that's a toughie. I think maybe a lot of us listening are just sitting here thinking, wow, what is my favorite psalm? And how I don't think I have one. I have like maybe 25.
I believe
but it. Oh my gosh. And I think the more acquainted we become with the psalms, the more we realize how there are portions of so many of them that we actually live by. I was thinking of Habakkuk 3:19, and it's, I don't know, this is horrible, I can't remember this, but like, I don't know who said it first about the hind feet in high places, Habakkuk or David, but Habakkuk says in that verse, the Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, my invincible army. He makes my feet like hind feet. He makes me to walk not to stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. And which is a loaded verse. Of course, that's the Amplified. But I was thinking that encapsulates David's writings, his psalms, his thoughts. Like, how many times did he say, the Lord is my strength? He didn't just say, the Lord gives me strength. He said, the Lord is my strength. And then my personal bravery, I think it's Psalm 18 where he says, by thee I shall run through a troop, and by my God I will leap over a wall. That is bravery. And then my invincible army, elsewhere in Psalms, he says, through God we shall do valiantly. And he was a warrior, you know, he wasn't afraid to obey God's command to go forward and to go into battle. And then, of course, like you just said, you know, makes my feet like hind feet. But in the place, I think of all the times David must have walked forward, gone forward, even though he was afraid. Like, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. So he walked forward in times of trouble, suffering, and responsibility, making spiritual progress. And I honestly, you know how you might ask somebody, who do you want to, besides Jesus, of course, who do you want to meet in heaven and sit down and fellowship with? I have to say David. And I think not just because of what's been said about him today, but because he really knew the mercy of God. He really knew it. And God delights in those that hope in his mercy. And maybe that's why David's the prince of the millennium. I don't know. You could speak for weeks about him.
Yeah, amen. And Jenny, thanks so much for sharing that. And I think you're right. I think for us to ask someone, what's your favorite psalm or a portion of a psalm or one verse from the Psalms, is it's almost too much, because there are just so many wonderful and rich portions. But we could say today, to you, Jenny, you're one of our psalms. Your life is like a psalm and ministers to so many. I would venture to say that there are some of our listeners to say, when they get to heaven, they want to sit down and talk to you.
Well, I'll give my address and phone number off the air. They can come see me.
Well, we'll have time. I mean, we'll be out of time, so
that's,
I mean,
right.
It won't be any. Won't be on a schedule.
What a conversation.
We'll have a schedule
down,
or whoever know. Yeah.
Talk with David, the Apostle Paul, Jenny Perry. What a blessing.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Well, I look forward to fellowshipping with you two also, believe me.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Jenny.
Yeah.
God bless you.
God
appreciate
bless.
It.
Yeah, I think let's look at this too. I mean, maybe in some of your Bibles do indicate this, that, you know, there are five books of the Psalms, and I think understanding the nature of, like, a Jewish fellowship where these books come from. We know that there's five books of Moses and five books of Psalms, and, you know, these songs were meant to help people, you know, connect with the other parts of the Bible too. So we say that maybe Psalms is something we make reference to a lot in our mood, but then there are other times when we don't make reference to, you know, when we want the Psalms to take us back to other parts of the Bible, you know. So I think, like, it's we want a very whole approach to the Bible. And, living on the music is amazing, but, you know, you got to brush your teeth, got to tie your shoes, you got all those kind of things. So the music of our lives is great. God gave it to us. We appreciate it so much.
Amen. So just before we take our next caller, just to wrap up these four
themes, right?
We've
Great
the first
job
one,
there, by the way. I like that organization.
Yeah,
there.
The first one, when times are tough, God alone is our security.
Yeah.
When our days are dark, God alone is our light. When our walk is weak, God alone is our strength. The last one, 2 Samuel 22, verses 50 and 51. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name. For he is the tower of salvation for his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forever. forevermore.
Mm.
And that last part of verse 51, we could say when our future is a little fuzzy, a little foggy, the Lord alone is our only hope.
Yeah.
So you put them together, you've got God is our security alone, God is our light alone, God is our strength alone, God is our hope alone. Let's go to Renee. Rennie, he's joining us live in the Grace Hour. Rennie, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, gentlemen. What a wonderful subject this morning. My psalm that has spoken to me since a young Christian has been Psalm 42. You know, as a doe longs for streams of running water, so longs my soul for you. And you can hear the anguish in his soul as all day men say to me, where is my God? And then he rejoices because I remember and my soul melts within as the deep calls unto the deep. That just wrecks me every time I consider that psalm.
Amazing, because he said there a few times, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? And then I love the fact that he brought out, I'm going to hope in God, almost a step of faith that he takes in the midst of his discouragement. And he says, he makes this declaration, I will praise him, for that he is the help of my countenance.
Yeah, amen. It breaks me every time, because haven't we all been in that place where others have been mocking us for our belief, and we couldn't find God? And I think John of the Cross calls it the dark night of the soul, where you're looking for God and you can't find him, but what a joy it is when you do find him again.
Amen. Rennie, thanks so much for sharing.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. I think like when we read in 1 Peter, he talks about the living hope that we have. And I think Peter, you know, really, how did he nourish, you know, that living hope inside of himself? Because there's another character that we could say, you know, Peter got a new name. His name was Simon. They called him the Rock, but he wasn't so solid in his walk with God all the time. But he had this living hope. And I think, you know, yeah, the Psalms are there to give hope. And even Christ gives us that example when he's quoting Psalm 22 from the cross. It's like even Christ could say, how am I getting through this moment in the redemptive plan? Thy will be done. And he's thinking and meditating on a psalm as he's on the cross. So, I mean, there's power in him. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
So it's great that David was able to, you know, give us this package of literature for our hearts and minds.
Absolutely. And I like the way you described it, Pastor Steve. They are David's greatest hits.
Yep.
That's a great way to approach it. And we hope that you enjoy more of David's greatest hits. Read the Psalms. Your heart will be greatly encouraged. You'll be reminded, even in weak moments, that God will be there. He'll be your strength. In dark moments, you can trust him. He'll bring the light that you need to take those next few steps. And even as you look into the future, and sometimes that's risky in and of itself, because we don't know what the future holds, but we can discover through some of David's greatest hits that God holds the future, and he holds us in his hand, and we can take great comfort and hope in that. Thanks so much for joining us, friends. We've run out of time. It went quickly. That happens when you're discussing the greatest hits, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah.
Amen. Pastor Steve, thanks for joining us today.
Yep. Great to be with you.
And friends, tomorrow, the final edition of the Grace Hour for this week, that's coming up. So we hope you'll tune in a little less than 24 hours from now. Thanks so much for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Until tomorrow at the same time, may God bless you.